Each morning when I read the newspapers, I read the obituaries. And I see the names of actors that I remember from my youth, or athletes that I remember from my youth. And when I see that they've died, my first reaction almost always is, gee, I didn't know they were still alive. And the first notice that I have that they're still alive is that they're dead. And that happened to me in a different way on Sunday night. I was at a Shiva house, and as the Shiva ended, the Consul General, Yaakov Dayan, who was also attending the Shiva, came up to me and he said, "The President just announced that we killed bin Laden." At first I was shocked, and then I thought, ah, so he's still alive. And I was pleased, actually, I haven't mentioned it to him, I don't know even if he was aware of how he said it, that the Consul General said, "We killed bin Laden." First of all, because, obviously, as the Consul General of Israel in Los Angeles, he has a great affection and love for this country, but also because, in a sense, it was all freedom-loving people that had an investment and a certain joy in the death of someone who was so irredeemably wicked. And I want to make three points about this event that I think help put it in a Jewish context, because it is important when something this major, and in fact this is a very significant event in contemporary history, when something this major occurs, it's important that we be able to see it through a Jewish lens, which will sometimes be the same and sometimes be different from the lens of the daily newspaper or the internet or the talk shows. The first question that I and a lot of other religious leaders wrote about was, do you celebrate? And we saw outside the White House and also in New York people popping corks of champagne and pouring beer on each other and dancing and singing. As a result, many rabbis invoked, among other Jewish sources, the tradition, of course, associated most with Pesach, that when the angels began to sing as the Egyptians drowned, God said to them, as the rabbis tell us, "How dare you sing while my creatures are drowning?" And so we take a drop of wine from the cup in acknowledgement of the suffering of others. But I want to say that's not actually such a good source to apply here. First of all, because God was talking to angels. Human beings still sang Shirat Hayam, the song of the sea, and God did not rebuke them. Second, they were in imminent danger. In imminent danger, when someone is actually literally coming after you and they're stopped, you have to be human, superhuman, not to sing. So from both sides, this source is not so good, and we have to ask ourselves something else, which is, how do you act when your enemy is vanquished? It says in Proverbs that you should not rejoice at the downfall of your enemy. Why not? Why not? And I think the Jewish answer is this, that those celebrations were actually un-Jewish. I understand why they happened, by the way. If you look at the pictures of the people who celebrated, they were almost all very young. It's very hard to say to a 20-year-old, don't go out into that celebration because it's un-Jewish. So I understand the enthusiasm and the joy, and you cannot discount the natural desire of human beings, especially younger, for a party. And that was part of it, let's be honest. It's part of every mass gathering, especially of young people. But the reason it's un-Jewish is not because we shouldn't feel joy. Because I don't know anyone of sound mind and decent conscience who didn't feel joy at the fact that bin Laden was killed. But remember that that death is part of a fabric of war and sorrow and destruction and loss. And it seems inappropriate to start pouring beer on each other because someone who caused or had a part in causing all that tremendous loss was finally killed. It may have brought some relief, but surely it didn't bring wild joy to people whose brothers, whose sisters, whose parents, whose children, whose spouses were killed in the towers. And we have to remember them at such a moment as well. The second lesson also comes from a Jewish source in the Talmud, where Rabbi Meir is accosted on his way home by some robbers, and in frustration he says to his wife Bruria, "I pray for the death of sinners." And she says, "No, no, no, that's not what the verse says. It says not that we pray for the death of sinners, but we pray for the end of sin." And the truth is that as important as the killing of bin Laden is, since it is not the end of bin Ladenism, it is a small milestone on the road. We had, especially in the Jewish world, immediate confirmation of this terrible truth when Hamas, who I remind you is about to join a unity government with Fatah to be the governing body of the Palestinian people, not just of Gaza, but of the Palestinian people, West Bank and Gaza, when Hamas immediately came out and condemned the killing of bin Laden and called him a martyr. It was one more reminder to the world that the enemies of our people sooner or later become the enemies of the world. It is what Father Dubois, who Rabbi Brown brought to my office the day before yesterday, and brought to Los Angeles, and I hope we'll bring again, who spends his life going around Eastern Europe identifying the mass graves of Jews despite the fact that he is a Catholic priest, said to me about the contemporary situation. He said, "One of the things that I've learned is if the genocide isn't about you, people don't care. If they say we're going to kill Tutsis and you're not a Tutsi, you don't care. If they say we're going to kill Jews and you're not a Jew, people don't care." And then he said, "Believe me, if tomorrow Ahmadinejad said, 'By the way, we're also going to aim a nuclear bomb at New York and at London and at Paris and at St. Petersburg,' he said, the world would be on him in a minute." So the killing of bin Laden was in that sense a confirmation of what the Jewish people has always known. Which is that the enemy of the Jew eventually spreads to being the enemy of humanity. And that's the third lesson. That is an important Jewish lesson that we cannot forget. When I first heard the story that proved to be false, that bin Laden had used his wife as a human shield, I immediately thought that's not true. It's not true. This is a pious, a smart, and a courageous man. He is. He's also wicked. And one of the things that the Jewish tradition teaches is that whether you're good or bad has nothing to do with your other qualities. You can be smart, you can be wealthy, you can be pious, that is observant of your religious tradition, you can be courageous and you can still be wicked. You can still be evil. And I knew as soon as that story came out that there were people who didn't understand this. They wanted to make him into a coward as though that's what would make him bad. But we know when we teach about the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer HaRa, the good inclination and the evil inclination that exist within people, it exists within everyone, and it doesn't matter how smart you are. And it doesn't matter how much bravery you have. It matters what you use it for. And that's why people sometimes make the mistake of thinking that if you're good, you must be weak. But you can be good and strong, just as you can be strong or weak and evil. And one of the things that I think our country took tremendous pride in was the fact that it reminded us yet again that there are people of dedication, of conscience, of bravery, of skill, of training, who are willing to give their lives for the defense of this country. Because make no mistake, every one of those Navy SEALs knew that he might not come out of there alive, and the fact that they did is wondrous and miraculous. I have, by the way, my sister-in-law's brother is a Navy SEAL, or was a Navy SEAL. He's long since left. But he described to us once the training they go through. And all I can say is, it's essentially years of torture to see who survives. What they go through to be a Navy SEAL to represent this country is extraordinary. And our pride should know no bounds. So it's a moment of grim satisfaction and sober joy. But it's a small step on a very long road. A very long road. And by the way, it's not about who gets credit and who doesn't. One of the things that saddened me was the immediate discussion about how much credit should President Bush get or not get, how much credit should President Obama get or not get, as though all of this was about the polls. We are an old people, and we know that the struggle between good and evil is a continuous one. It goes on longer than presidential terms, longer than countries, as long as there are human beings. We are grateful for this small victory, but that's what it is, a small victory on a long road. But it reminds us, yet again, of something very important, which is that ultimately, we, our people, our nation, our country, and I mean our country in both senses, Israel and America, we're on the right side of this struggle and the good side of history. And even though we are not perfect and we will make mistakes and we will do wrong things and cruel things, there is a good and an evil in this struggle, and we were reminded again this week. So I hope that this will make some difference, that it will, at least for a little while, disarrange some of the forces of evil and give some confidence to the forces of good. But we've been here before. We've seen evil people come and go. And we're still here because the wish of Rabbi Meir's wife, Bruria, has not yet been fulfilled. We have neither the end of sinners nor the end of sin. We still have the continuance of the struggle. So I hope that in support of that struggle, you will, through our synagogue, through other synagogues, join us as we go to Israel as part of a community-wide trip at the end of October and beginning of November. I hope that you're joining us at the AIPAC conference to speak to our legislators about the importance of supporting Israel. I hope that you will join us tomorrow night, or Monday night rather, for the Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaTzmaut and Yom HaZikaron commemoration. In other words, I hope that you will remember how important it is to strengthen and celebrate our country, both the United States and the land of Israel, and amidst all the criticisms, remember that good needs the support that it can in this world, because evil is unrelenting. Shabbat Shalom.